Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Our senior pastor, as you know, is down in Texas ministering the word of the Lord. And I asked Sister Grant if she had heard from him. She said, hourly. He calls home, well, not hourly. He doesn't call when he's preaching. He probably texts her while he's preaching. But he's he is a homebody, but he's having a great time in ministering the word of the Lord down there. And yesterday evening, I was privileged to be part of the ladies' ministry as a server for the $2,600 meal. I didn't believe I could eat that much, but I did. But it was quite an extravaganza. I want to thank all of the folks who participated in that auction. It was tremendous. And those of you that were there last night and ate, I can assure you, you must have gained 5 pounds if you gained an ounce. Praise God. Well, we're going to be talking to you this morning. You know, as we look around our world today, things are not looking so good. So I felt very impressed by the Holy Spirit to talk to you about putting on the armor of God. I say putting on the armor of God. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, you could turn to Matthew 24 and 6. Praise God. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not near. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in divers places, and all these are the beginning, not the end. This is the beginning of sorrows. Luke 21, 26. You know, when you see prophecy in 3 of the 4 Gospels that literally, as we speak, are being fulfilled, I think it's time that the church that has ears to let them hear. The Bible says men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21, 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day shall come upon you unawares. Luke 21, 35, for as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And then in Mark 13 and 29, the Bible says, So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Even at the doors. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not what the time is. You know, picking up a newspaper today, even today as I picked up the Wisconsin State Journal, the United States has started the no-fly zone over Libya and attacked Libya with the Allies, which is, and I'm not saying I'm against the attack. I'm just saying this is just another headline that coincides with what's happening in the scripture, wars and rumors of war. People who do not even necessarily believe in a God are talking about Armageddon. They're talking about the end times. They're talking about things that I think in the past we all believed that these things were going to happen. Amen? But suddenly, in a very brief span, it seems like the entire world is inflamed. We're seeing things that we have, at least in my lifetime, have never seen before. As you know, in Japan, they just had a mammoth 9.2 earthquake. That's unbelievable. And thousands of people are homeless, and thousands are dead. And then, of course, the tsunami that came in right after that. And we thought, oh, my goodness, couldn't get any worse than that. And then they say, oh, we have 4 nuclear reactors that we have no earthly idea how to shut these things down. Now, that's comforting. Man's best solution for us, duh, I have no idea. How fragile is this world that we live in? How little control do we really have over circumstances? There's only one thing we really have control of, our ability to reach the Most High God in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning I was told that they raised the nuclear reactor disaster to another level. They're saying that the winds are blowing and they'd come right towards California. And God only knows what that's going to do as we have radiated fish that glow in the dark. You open up your can of tuna, Roy, and you'll find it. Hey, whoa, it's glowing. Well, as God began to put this on my heart, I began to look at history. Just in the last 100 years, it's, and I guess for me it was kind of an eye-opener because, you know, I had not really put all these things together. And I'm talking just the last 100 years. And thank God for Google, because you can go on there in a second. You can find out national disasters. You can find tsunamis. You can find how many people were killed and so on. But let's just go back just for a moment here. Since Azusa Street now, this is since the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we believe is the beginning of the latter rain. Amen? That God began to pour out his spirit just like on the day of Pentecost. Right now, as we speak, there are over 80 wars going on throughout the world. And that's not talking about little regional conflicts with various tribes and so on. It wasn't very long ago, the Twin Towers was no more. It just, we watched this. We saw pictures of this. We saw it in videos. These two mammoth structures with human beings in them that crumbled, just crumbled. You look at that and you say, my goodness, what in the world's going on? Go to your Bible. Men's hearts failing them for fear of things to come. People jumping 130 stories to their death. Listen, this is some serious things. You go to the Middle East and you go from country to country to country, and you'll see that there is a major uprisings going on. Long time rulers are no longer in control. The people are taking back the governments from various, and I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm just saying, look where these countries are. They're all surrounding Israel. That should tell us something, Roy, that this is beginning of the end. Look at Katrina, 2005. Hurricane Katrina came. It was the 6th largest hurricane to hit the United States, but it was the most expensive one. $82 billion, 1,836 people were killed in Katrina. And we all saw the pictures there. We felt the horror of, what would you do if suddenly your church was gone? Or suddenly your whole life was upside down and you had to get on a bus and be transported to another state, not even knowing whether your mother and father were alive or your sisters or your brothers or where's dad at? Where's Pastor Grant at? Since the big earthquake in Madison, what happened to Calvary Gospel Church? All I see is a big hole in the ground. We are living in perilous times, my friends. 2004, there was a tsunami in Indonesia. 224,000 people. 224,000 people gone, perished in the tsunami. The earthquake in Haiti, 2010, 275,000 people, 222,000 people is recorded to be dead or missing in Haiti. And the damage is because of the way they build their homes. You can't even really put a number on it. It's crazy. And going back a little bit, July 28, 1976, there was a quake in China that 242,000 people perished. We forget these things, but this is all prophetic. This is all prophetic. It's in the Bible. World War I, 18 million people died. Civilians, troops died. First use of mustard gas. Chemical warfare was unleashed. A wonderful idea. Wonderful idea. And then we had the so-called Spanish flu come right at the end of World War II, 1918 and 1919. There was another global disaster. 20 to 40 million people died of Spanish flu. That's more deaths than there were all in World War I. 20 to 40 million people. And it was reported that this flu was so deadly that you could be walking down the street and fall over dead. It was that fast reacting. It didn't take 20, 30 days. It took just minutes. And I've been told that this flu pandemic thing is coming back. And they're not talking about it very much, but that very same virus is still out there. It didn't go away. 1923, a quake in Tokyo, Yokohama, and the surrounding area killed 140,000 people. 1927, 2,000 people in China. World War II, civilians and army, 80 million people. Can you wrap your mind around that 80? You can go and look this up yourself. 80 million people. Now, friends, the enemy has come in like a flood. But I've got some good news for you. I said, I've got some good news for you. He's not going to win. Hallelujah. I said, he's not going to win. I believe that this generation is going to experience the greatest outpouring of God's Holy Spirit ever recorded on this planet. And I truly believe that this church is going to be in the midst of this great revival. And the reason I can say this is because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. Joel 2:1. There's some things that we need to do to prepare ourselves for this great and mighty outpouring of this revival. If you're going to survive, you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. This isn't going to work with the way we've been doing church. This isn't going to work when you think more of earthly things than you do of heavenly things. Joel 2:1, the Bible says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Brother Geminder, did you bring your trumpet with you? No, he doesn't have his trumpet. He's a very good trumpet player. And sound an alarm. You ever heard of the alarm here when it goes off? Woo. It's crazy. It'd drive you out of the building. And really, the alarm should be going off in our heart. The alarm should be going off to let us realize this is happening right now. Right now, there is we're on the brink of this great revival. Satan is poured out all this evil and all these horrible things that have come upon the face of the earth. Praise God. But he's not going to win. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. You trembled recently? When you thought about all the things that are happening, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Do you know what the day of the Lord is? It's when he comes back for his church. The Bible says in Joel 2:10, the earth shall quake before them. the heavens shall tremble. Brother Grant told me the other day that the island of Japan moved 8 feet. 8 feet. That's a lot of feet. That's a whole country. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Not part of it, not just a little bit of it. See, the problem we have, because we have this human spirit, we are willing to go as far as we are comfortable. But all of your heart means all of your heart. I don't come to prayer meetings because I go to church 3 times a week. I don't come to early morning prayer. I don't come to Thursday because I'm too busy. Praise God. With fasting. I was so encouraged here the other day when someone came to me and said, you know, there are a group of us who are really feeling led of God to begin a fast. They began a 2-week fast. Some of them fasted the 2 weeks, some of them fasted the day. But I thought, my God, here God's talking to the saints of this church. And I said, what are you fasting about? Well, I'm fasting about the condition of our world. We're fasting about the condition of the church. Are we ready to meet the Lord? We have the best pastor. We have the best staff. I mean, and we've got the best saints in the world. We know how to worship. We know how to give. We know how to help one another out. But we need to really, really look at what we're doing. As an individual, what am I doing? How am I participating? What is my contribution? Weeping with mourning. Joel 2:13, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn on to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Thank you, Jesus, that he's gracious and merciful. Thank you, Jesus, that he's graceful and merciful. Slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath come and given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. The latter rain in the first month. My friend, we are experiencing the latter rain of God's Holy Spirit. Joel 2:28, and this is a scripture that we often quote. It's in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men, that's me, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That's Roy. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit upon Calvary Gospel Church, all flesh. Years ago, the Lord gave me a vision, and it really changed the way I prayed with people at the altar. And he showed me a giant globe. I was concerned because I was not praying enough people through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, what's wrong with me? He said, well, first of all, you don't believe my word. Who? What does my word say? He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's already there. It's like oxygen. It's like it's already here. When you pray with people, all you need to do is believe it, and they'll receive it. Changed my life. Praise God. Praise God. So we're in the latter rain. So, you know, like they say in the world, game on. Let's go. Man your battle stations. Get your guns out. Get your weapons on. Listen, those of you that have been in the service, when you heard an incoming mortar, Brother Richie, you didn't say, oh, boy, that's really, what a cool sound. That's really neat. I wonder where it's going to go. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Bombs bursting in air. They're trying to kill me. Get your helmet on. Get your armor on. Where's my gun? Oh, it's rusty. Oh. Your rifle, excuse me, George. Well, you always tell if there's a Marine in the crowd. We do not call it a gun. It is a rifle. It is my rifle. No, I want to go. No. Crazy. You can tell an old Marine, but you can't tell him much. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who we praise and worship here, the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, is coming back for his church without spot, without blemish. But you ain't getting out of here, honey, unless you've got the whole armor on, because the enemy is coming in like a flood. He's already here. He's already pouring all this venom and evil and all this stuff out in the whole world. The world has lost its moral compass. It has no clue what is right, no clue what is wrong, does not have any idea of right or wrong. There's so many gray areas. There's so many areas that are unbiblical that people are practicing and doing. And they say, well, you're just being narrow-minded. Are you one of those Bible-thumping guys from South? Yes, I am, baby. I believe every bit of this book, and I believe we are going to be held accountable for the sin that's in our life, whether we want to recognize it or not. You know, when I was a kid, we used to play this game. All right, hide and seek. And the last thing we'd say is, Ole Ole Olsen, all in free. Remember that? Ready or not? Here I come. You know what God's saying? Ready or not? Here I come. Ready or not? Here I come. Well, I'm going to get ready next week. I'm going to commit my life next week. Ready or not? Here I come. Oh, I've got this sin problem, and I'm really working on it. Ready or not? Here I come. My God, I hope the Holy Ghost stirs us today. I pray that God would stir me. I pray that he'd stir you. I pray that something would penetrate your armor. And you'd say, oh my God, I am a wicked man, and I need the blood of Jesus. Mark 13:35. Oh, dear Jesus. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, or midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, or when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, watching something you shouldn't be watching, saying something that you shouldn't be saying, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. Sleeping. Sleeping in the midst of the greatest revival that God has ever poured out on humanity, and we're sleeping. Oh, you say, that's not me. Listen, it can be any one of us. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I think of all the precious people who've walked out of these doors and literally have been snared by the devil. A bad thought, a bad attitude, bad something, a deceiving spirit comes. Doctrine of devils, whatever it might be. Oh, harabakushabaha. And listen, I pray that somehow in these last days that they would find their way back to the house of the Lord. I pray with all my heart that God would restore them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. God has provided his church, this church, with everything we need to make this journey, this end time journey that's upon us right now. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Paul wrote this book, as you more than likely know, when he was in a Roman prison. So the illustrations that Paul used was probably based upon the fact that he was surrounded with Roman soldiers. So when he saw what they were wearing and how they dressed, I think he related that to the scripture here in the book of Ephesians, because he wanted to explain to us that we are in a war. We are in a war, a spiritual war, and unfortunately, many, many people refuse to believe it. They do not understand how very vulnerable their life is, how fragile life is. Our precious brother, Putin Harris, went on to meet the Lord. We talked to him last week, saw him in the hospital. He's gone. I thank God that he came back to the house of the Lord. I thank God that the mercy of the Lord came to him. Hallelujah. But when Paul was writing this letter, there was a sense of urgency. You could tell it by the way he's speaking. He wasn't asking, he was more or less commanding. He was telling us, listen, folks, if you don't do this, you're going to get snatched away. The thing about deception is you don't know you're being deceived. Pretty simple, but it's true. All right, beginning in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can become what we consider to be powerful, but it's not about me, it's about him. It's about my relationship with him. If I'm doing what I need to do, he will use me to do his will and his work. He will use these hands. Then I become the power of his might. Then I can speak the words that he would speak. Praise God. For greater things than these shall ye do, because I go on to my Father. But we can't get it in reverse. We need to realize and understand that this is God's power and God's might. Ephesians 6 and 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You notice here he didn't say put on a little bit. He said put on the whole armor of God. And this is what we sometimes get tricked. We sometimes are deceived because we are in a church that is dynamic. We are in a church that has tremendous, powerful services. And the worship here is amazing. The music department is incredible. Our pastors are amazing teachers and preachers. But that doesn't equate down to the level of the foot soldier. This may not even be a building. There could be an earthquake that swallowed this building up. Do you have enough God in you right now, without a church, without a pastor, to make it? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is out to get you. He is out to snare you. He is constantly circling you. He's listening to what you say, because he cannot read your mind, but he can read your lips. Every day I talk to people and they tell me exactly how bad things are. And they very seldom do I find someone says, you know, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. That's what you should be speaking, not your circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Praise God, praise God. Romans 12, 13, the Bible tells us to put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Romans 13, 14, these are not going to be up on the screen. Make not provision to the flesh. Don't give your flesh any ammunition. It doesn't need any. Don't feed your sinful nature with things that are going to destroy your relationship with God. You say, oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about media. I'm talking about things that we sometimes allow our eyes to watch. You think that that's not going to affect you? It's all up here. This is the black box, the recorder that continues. You want to, you know, well, how come is it we can walk along, Roy, and we think of something stupid we did 20 years ago? And you think, where did that come from? The black box. It's still ticking away. It's that memory that's still there. It's under the blood, but it's still up here. Hallelujah. We need to understand that we do not and should not and cannot give our flesh an opportunity to grow. And when we do, it's very subtle, but it just takes one lie at a time, one sin at a time. And one sin leads to another sin, to another. And the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I'm only smoking one cigarette a day. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I'm only watching a little bad stuff. A little leaven. See, when you leave the door open, you have allowed Satan to come into your life, into your home, into your children. And trust me, those of you that have children, that sin that you're involved in will be passed on to the generations, 3 to 4 generations. You say, well, they don't even know about my sin. It doesn't make any difference. That's what the Bible says. We're talking about spiritual things. Praise God. We all have the three deadly sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the big three that we need to be careful that you don't get your eyes set upon things of this world. The lust of the eyes, that, you know, things look good. I need this. I want that. The lust of the flesh, I got to have this. Praise God. If we only receive from God what we need, He said He'd take care of all of our need according to His riches and His glory. So keep your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory. Don't you worry about it. I'll take care of your rent. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of everything you need. But I want, no, I didn't say once. Everything you need. Sometimes we need a whole lot more. We think we need a lot more than we really do need. If you don't believe me, go over to Japan and live for a few weeks. They're so happy to get a little jug of water and a bowl of rice. And sometimes we find, let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12. Praise God. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, here's the problem. If we can sometimes get hung up fighting one another. We can get bad attitudes and bad spirits with one another. We're fighting the wrong foe. We should get our eyes off our brother. Jesus said, listen, before you take that little speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye, why don't you get the 2x4 that's hanging out of your eye? Because taking something out of somebody's eye is very delicate. You have to have a good touch, you know. But we sometimes look towards one another, and Paul said it this way, who are you to judge another man's servant? What are you doing in my area of expertise and influence? I'm able to make these people rise, or I'm able to make them fall. Your job is to take care of Richard Thomas. And that, my friend, is a handful. So our battle is with the devil. I'd like to read to you a small story here that is a really kind of a cool illustration. Brother Roy is a World War II buff. During World War II, the story of General Patton, he had a successful counterattack on the German forces led by General Rommel. And in the thick of the battle, it was reported that Patton shouted, "Ha ha!" He says, "Rommel, I have read your book. I have read your book." In the middle of the battle. Now, why would he do that? Because in Rommel's book, the infantry attacks that the famed Desert Fox carefully detailed, he carefully detailed his strategy. Rommel says, "I know what that old fox is doing." He says, "Watch this." And while he was routing Rommel's forces, he says, "Ha ha, I've read the book. I've read the book." Listen, when Satan comes to attack you, pick up the book. He says, "Listen, I know what you're doing. I've read the book. I'm living the book." Oh, hallelujah. Devil, you come after me as a roaring lion. You come after me with lies. You come after me with things that are not real. Fear. Listen, I know your devices. I'm not ignorant of your devices because I've read the book. Glory. I resist you in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Then in Ephesians 6:13, Paul writes as if we hadn't heard the first, put on the whole armor of God. He says this, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." He just said that. But hey, he's saying it again. Because evidently, we resist putting on the whole armor of God. It's cumbersome. It doesn't give it. See, when you put on the whole armor of God, it doesn't allow you to do the sin that you were doing. It restricts your mind because you've got a helmet on. It restricts your feet because it's shod with the preparation of the gospel. And the shield of faith was a 4-foot by 2.5-foot wooden shield that was made out of wood, leather on top, and metal all around it. You just didn't pick that up and just walk down the street. And then in your other hand, you had another shield, a little smaller shield. So you were prepared for battle. So take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's here. It's now. He's attacking. He's attacking you. He's attacking your children. He's attacking everything that you have. He is not going to spare you. You cannot compromise with him. You cannot have a truce with the devil. Your only hope is put on the whole armor of God. Get rid of everything in your life, all the sin and the weight that so easily besets you. Get rid of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. And realize that you brought nothing into this world and that you can bring nothing out of this world. Isn't it amazing that we get so hung up on things and they all rust? And the things that I was so excited about buying, I bought a 1985 Buick Electra wagon. It was the nicest vehicle that I've ever owned, Roy. It was plush, velour, and I was driving down with my arm out the window. And that thing was, I mean, it was the bomb. New term. The bomb. Guess what? The bomb blew up. When it had 49,900 miles, the engine went. When it got 50,100, of course, the warranty only lasts to 50. I took it to I said, "What's this blue smoke coming out of the back?" Guy said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "They got a real reputation for for engines to go." I thought, "Oh." I said, "I like the car so much, I put a new engine in it." I said, "No, I got it again." Transmission. Then I sold it to Brother Rossing. Don't tell them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's something, 2 Chronicles 20:17. This is something we always need to remember. We're not in this alone. This is not something, we're not fighting. Sometimes the devil will isolate us. He gets us thinking that nobody loves us. Nobody cares about us. God's forsaken me. It's just me and the devil, and we're duking it out, and he's winning. I cannot get out of this quagmire. Oh, hallelujah. You shall not need to fight this battle. You can't fight the battle. Let's face it. God is a spirit and the devil is a spirit. You're flesh and blood. You have no authority over the devil other than what God's given you. Set yourself. Stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Fear is a terrible motivator, but it's what the devil uses. It's a counter type of faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Fear is the substance of things that you dread. The evidence of things that you don't want to come on your life. But it's what he uses, just like God uses faith. Have you ever noticed that the things that you trouble you the most, really, God's already solved it. He's already figured it out. So you're not the first one that had fear. You're not the first one that had surgery. You're not the first one who had monumental problems, as if God says, what am I going to do with Brother Thomas? Now there is a basket case. He's already got me figured out. He knows how to fix my woes. If I'll seek first. See, you got to do first things first. Don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off, figuring, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? They told me I had cancer. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen. God's still in control. He can do all things. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness are we talking about? His righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So listen, we can become so puffed up with our vast spiritual knowledge and our ability to speak in other tongues that we start feeling righteous. We get the feeling that somehow we earned this. God's impressed with me. That's a joke. He's not impressed with anybody. The best we can hope for, the very best, if we become the greatest preacher, teacher, evangelist, Sunday school teacher, usher, greeter, well done, my good and faithful servant. Is that going to be enough? I pray to God it will be. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You historians know that the Roman soldiers wore shoes that had spikes on them, like almost like football spikes. But there were little spikes underneath the shoes. And the idea was that when you got into battle, people are whacking on you. People are pushing you. You need to have a firm foundation. You got this big spear, and the other guys are running. They're going to hit you with their javelin. Your feet have to have some kind of stability. And the Bible says that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. The thing that will not allow us to move backward, my friend, are these spikes that are coming out of our feet. It's the fact that there's no place to go. And I see people, and they're going to other churches, and God bless them that they're going to church, but I know that what they're preaching in these other churches is not the truth. They said, oh, I'm so happy over at church ABC. I said, really? I said, now what are they? Oh, God is love, God is peace. And I have so much more freedom now that I don't go to that church where they tell you how to live, right? See, What they did is they changed shoes. They took off their fighting shoes and they put on their running shoes. They're not designed to keep you in one spot. You know, with those spikes coming out of there, you didn't, the only thing you do is take one step at a time forward. You ever try to walk backwards with spikes? It doesn't work real well. And our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And listen, there are millions of people on this planet who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never one time heard it. Sincere, honest, good people who've never heard it. Look at Brother Richie. He's found hundreds of pastors on the internet in India. Hundreds. He started communicating with them and told them the truth. I think 320 pastors now took their whole churches in because somebody said, hey, what you've got is okay, but here's the rest of the truth. The preparation of the gospel. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, above all. That's pretty strong. Above all. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're firing 24/7. The shield that the Romans used, and this is no doubt what Paul was looking at, was a 2.5 foot wide, 4 feet tall, wooden, steel-rimmed with leather shield. It was heavy. And it was reported in some historical battles that the enemy would then light their projectiles with fire, and they'd send these projectiles over. And they would get down on one knee, and they'd put that shield over themselves, and they had a little shield that they had in their other hand. And that, if they stayed together, that protected pretty much the whole body. And some of these men had 50, 60 burning arrows in that shield. But see, if you have the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God told Abraham, I am thy shield. The Bible says the Lord is a shield to all that put their trust in him. Another psalm says the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The shield of faith, my friend, is God. God and his word cannot be separated. The word is forever settled in heaven. God is our shield and the word of God. Now, the word used in this particular tense here is rhema. You have to be speaking what you're wanting to happen, and that speech has to be in accordance with the word of God. God honors your speech when it lines up with his word. If you say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, you will be able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If you have a sickness or disease in your body, if you claim the promises and get your eyes off the disease, you will receive your healing. You shall reap if you faint not. Praise God. God is so good. Ephesians 6:17, as I'm running out of time here, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Read a funny story about a Marine. Thank you, Jesus. Leroy Elms, he was serving during World War II, and he writes a story about landing in the Pacific. In his haste to leave the landing ship that they were on, it's one of those things that flops down like this, he forgot his helmet. He's running ashore. And the sergeant was crawling through, trying to check on all the troops to find out how they were doing. He says, Leroy, where's your helmet? Oh, he says, I think in my haste, he says, I didn't put it on. He said, where's your rifle? He said, oops. He said, I didn't have my rifle. He said, where's your satch? This is where your ammo and your water is. In my haste, I left it on the boat. And Leroy reports, he said, there I was with all these Japanese firing at me. He said, and I was dressed for battle like a guy that was going to a volleyball game. It's a true story. He didn't, in his haste, He didn't bring anything. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We're asking God to come to our rescue. We don't have on the helmet. We don't have the sword of the Spirit. We don't have the shield of faith. And we say, God, deliver me from my dilemma. God says, hey, Rich, I've already delivered you. Haven't you read the book? He's already done everything he's going to do. Praise God. And we're looking for him to create some. Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. So what we need to do is dig into the Word of God. Find the promises of God that pertain to what I'm going through. Keep your mouth shut when it comes to speaking doubt and fear and lack of. And get your heart and mind and looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, hallelujah. Then we look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, here's another example of if we have not given the sword of the Spirit being the Holy Ghost, any ammunition, we have only one offensive weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. Whose sword is it? Not mine. The Holy Ghost in me will take from me everything that I've put in there to use in the battle. But if I have not taken the time to hide the Word of God in my heart, if I have not taken the time to push fear and doubt and all these negative things out of my life, the Holy Ghost doesn't have anything to work with. We have taken the weapons away from him, the one weapon Jesus used against Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. When Satan comes to you with this negative thinking of money and sickness and disease and I can't teach a Bible study, I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, that's a lie. It is a total lie. And don't be quoting the devil. Well, he never said anything to me. Thoughts. He can't read your mind, but he can read your lips. When he hears what your problem is, then he comes after you tooth and nail. You get it 24/7. And if you weren't sick, you will be sick. And if you're not broke, you will be broke. And here's God up there with all these promises, and he wants to do great things for you. He can't. He can't. Hallelujah. Prayer is our secret weapon, my friend. Prayer is our secret weapon. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If my people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, shall humble themselves with fasting, the only way you can humble yourself, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not them, from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you want a healing in the United States of America, follow the formula that God has put out. Follow the formula. You say, well, what are my evil ways? Where were you when they took prayer out of public schools? Did you fast? Did you pray? Where were you when they made it a right to have same-sex marriages? Did you fast? Did you pray? Did you bind together? Or did you just let it happen? See, we're supposed to repent for a world that doesn't know how to repent. We sometimes are always repenting about our little sin and our little problem. God's looking for us to stand in the gap for these people. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm out of time, praise God, but let's just stand here quickly. We have ammunition. Prayer is the process that God has chosen for us to put on his armor. They may shut down this church. They may take our Bibles away. They may put us in prison. The one thing they cannot do is take prayer from our heart. They cannot do that. That is our ultimate spiritual weapon. Lift up your hands and pray. During the Civil War, a guy named Gary Redding, a Union soldier from Ohio, was shot in the arm during the Battle of Shiloh. The captain saw this wounded soldier He said, "Soldier," he said, "give me your gun. Private, get to the rear." So this private was glad to hear that. He got it, and he started running towards the north, seeking safety. But after a while, he rose, "There's a skirmish over there." So he said, "Well, I'm going to go to the east." He ran to the east. There was a skirmish over there. He said, "Man, he ran to the west. There were skirmishes everywhere." He ran back to the captain. He says, "Give me my gun. There ain't no place to hide." You can't avoid this battle. By avoiding it and not participating in it, you are by default going to lose. Hallelujah. There's no place to run to other than into the arms of Jesus Christ. If you've never had an opportunity, perhaps the first time visitors never really understood, what do I have to do to be saved? Huh? It's so cool. It's so easy. Three simple steps. Works for everybody. I don't care if you're addicted. I don't care if you're wrapped around adult. I don't care what your problems are. I've had them all. In a moment's time, God will forgive you of your sins. You can go down in water baptism in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those sins that have had you bound for all these years are released. And the Bible says that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. God will never, ever, ever remember what you've done. And then, just to make sure that we know what happened, God then will put his own spirit inside of you. The Bible calls it the earnest of our inheritance. The purpose for this, my friend, is that when things get tough and the devil comes your ways, you lift up your hands and you begin to speak in that heavenly language. See, God's not only with you, he is in you. There's no place to run, my friend. But you can come to this altar. Some of you are playing with God. Some of you really have not committed. You've went as far as you're about ready to go. But what's going to happen? It's in the Bible, so it's not as if I'm trying to scare you, which I am trying to scare you. But I'm trying to scare you with truth. The truth of the matter is, there are horrible, horrible, horrible things coming upon the face of this earth. The Bible says everything we've experienced up to this date is just the beginning of sorrow. So why don't you let Jesus Christ make you brand new? Why don't you get rid of the demonic forces that have held you in captivity? If you're in need of a healing, if you come over here on my right, God's still a healer. If you need deliverance from something, come stand right here in the middle. If you've never really given your heart to God, if you come over here to my left, the choice is yours. God doesn't force anybody. But I want you to know this. This could be the first day of the rest of your life.